It's an honor to be with you. Lexington Catholic, again, supports Asbury, and there's, I'm sure, some alums here or those who have graduated from Lexington Catholic and attended Asbury. And so it's great, and I'm actually finished up a recommendation letter to for a student who is planning on it, hopefully attending here as well. So I feel already like fam right here. But I wish he showed a before hair loss picture, just to let you know. I did have hair, and it was cool. But I'm very thankful. I'm thankful to Esther. I'm thankful to Greg for the invitation. Always David, part of my journey, and I'm a part of theirs. But it is truly a vision that is exciting to be a part of, how God wants to open up doors, open up ears. Last night, as a part of the panel, it was just amazing to be with several folks from varying perspectives that allowed us to just be able to share where we have seen our neighbor. And maybe sometimes the struggles to love our neighbor, and even that admission to love ourselves well. And in so many ways, it was great to be in that. Just for a moment, I had this moment of like to myself, and I pulled back, and I was like, "Whoa, it's happening! There's ears, and we're using them, and there's a mouth, and we're speaking, and there's this communion that's taking place in your student center." And it was truly a reflection of the kingdom of God, that we use these gifts of two ears and one mouth. And I think God gave us those for a reason, two ears as opposed to two mouths. And he wants us to hear. And once we start to hear one another, then we can have a relationship. And when we hear each other and have a relationship, then we can start to have this shared experiences. And then when we realize that these experiences, whether shared similarly or sort of differently, then we can start to move things together, even shared obstacles, or realize common dreams that Jesus wants us to have. Jesus, our living God. Jesus, our saving God. Jesus, the one who gave his life for us so that every life can be saved and redeemed. Amen. And Jesus calls us to come out of ourselves for any ways in which we may have shut the door on someone deliberately or unknowingly, or closed ourselves off from being the agent of God, the ambassador of God's reconciliation, for the times which we may not have effectively allowed his kingdom to be established among us. We also, in the midst of this time together, we say, Lord, have mercy. Each of you all are a part of an amazing tradition, but most importantly, a sacred area, a sacred place. This is a place where sin can be realized, but God wants to take the sin and say, I want my promises in your life to be fulfilled. And if you can imagine, this is just the training ground. You know, the Bible, the acronym is for Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. This is your training ground to learn about who God is and then be able to be exemplars of how to treat one another here. And then step off of this campus whenever you do and start to let that ripple effect take place in our society, in our community. God wants to allow this beautiful college and seminary across the street to be a light that's not covered, a city built on a hill. And it's an honor to be among those who want to believe, those who are before the Lord, those who want to see God within themselves and dare to see him in another. I have to get ourselves wedded with a little bit of scripture this day. This is, of course, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we all know that parables were everyday realities that God, Jesus, spoke through to bring us an awareness about his kingdom. And this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And there was this occasion in expert law, verses 25 and on, where he wanted to know, you know, teacher, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How many of y'all raised that question this morning as you were brushing your teeth? What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know? And Jesus said, well, what does it say? What does it say in the law? I love that question. It's like, how do I get smarter? Well, what are you doing about it? You know, you know, your teachers ask you, like, are you doing your homework? You're like, why did I get a bad grade? Did you study? Okay. The teacher, the expert says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And how many of y'all know that much? Raise your hand. All right, that's good. Good starting ground. But then he says something extra. Sort of like, you know, when you have French fries and you've got to add ketchup, you know? You got to add this to it too. He says, this expert law recognizes this. This is keen. This is keenly aware. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Try that again. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of y'all honestly are trying to love your neighbor? Come on. Honestly, it's confession. Hello. Different kind. All right. How many of y'all honestly, now you don't have to raise your hand, but seriously, do you really love yourself? You don't have to raise your hand. Maybe you can, but do you love yourself? Balcony, do you love yourself? I think there's a correlation. This preposition is important as. Remember, even Jesus uses it in the Lord's Prayer that the Father gave him. Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, what? As we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned or are indebted against us. So I won't realize how much God loves me and forgives me unless I what? Forgive or love others. Amen? And then take that and move it to this scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means we have to do a little bit of introspection. That means we have to look sort of into the chambers of our heart and see how many folk are we letting in or how many people we're shutting out. We're going to have to do some honest admission on the tendencies that we have on how we love everyone, or we haven't really loved that group, or we're really afraid of that group, or we really have judged that group. I mean, you know, that group. And we have to be honest with, if we're not loving ourselves well, then we won't love everyone because God loves us. God, in John 3:16, already tells us, for God so loved the world. That means every single person who inhabits or have inhabited this big blue and green planet, little planet, I don't know. But for some reason, God has given us all a share in his love. And we're made in image and likeness of God. The one God, three persons, perfect communio. Father loves the Son, loves the Spirit, loves the Father, loves the Son, loves the Spirit. If we're made in that image and likeness, then we're called to love this person who loves this person. And even that person who stepped on your toes, love that person. Or even that person who talked about you on social media, forgive that person so that you can love that person as God taught us to love that person. But every time we get stuck, church, every time we get stuck, Asbury, we're inhibiting the power of love, our divine assignment, the divine mission that God wants us to live in at every single moment. Because to be quite honest, you should move wherever you want to move. You should go wherever you want to go before anybody you can ever imagine, wherever you can imagine in this whole world. Amen? If you're free in God, right? You can go wherever you can imagine and speak to whomever you can imagine at whatever time you can imagine if you're free in the Spirit of God. Amen? But if I say the name of somebody that you've had a hard time, and when I say their name, you go, ugh, you know? And maybe slobber like that dog that shakes off after water gets on, like, ugh. If I say the name of somebody and you have a hard time already and you're gristling your teeth and it just makes you upset, then that person is still your neighbor. That person is still our neighbor. And we have to deal with that person with God's help. Amen. We have to let God deal with that person in our heart and let God take them, that burden of them from us, so that we can still love and move wherever God assigns us. We already know what it's like. The parable goes on, and the man was hurt, and only the Samaritan, talk about race relations and racism. There was already Samaritans versus Jews, Hatfields versus McCoys. I mean, it was for real. And you don't mix with them. You don't even say their name in the same sentence. It's just, you don't do that. Sharks versus Jets. Come on. And so you have this tension that Jesus wants to teach based on he's already shown love to everyone. He shows love. So he's teaching now that it wasn't the Pharisee, it wasn't the Levite, it wasn't the great teacher that responded with love. It was the Samaritan that responded powerfully with great humility, the parable tells us, that we can learn from. I just want to encourage you today, Asbury, to have compassion for yourselves. Compassion means to suffer with, to bear one another's burdens. Let Christ help you bear your burdens. But then let that compassion come through you to let God help you to be compassionate and bear the burdens of your brothers and sisters who may be like you or may be completely different from you. I can honestly say in my 13 years of ministry, I have learned how to work with anyone and everyone at any time because God helps me to do it. There's times I don't want to work with that alcoholic. I don't want to respond to that person who's committed those kinds of sins. There's times I want to say, uh-uh. But then I have to realize God has forgiven me my sin. God has given me a greater responsibility. And I believe at Asbury, he's given each of you a really good responsibility to be exemplars of what it means to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. I want to just go into a prayerful skit. I'm going to invite the spontaneous skit team of Asbury to come forward because they never knew they were going to do this until now. And this is just going to be a prayerful reflection of four moments in Scripture where Jesus taught us with compassion and how Jesus responds, but also how in our human nature, in our brokenness, we respond to each other. You see, we all need God's light. There was a woman caught in adultery. Gospel of John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11 tells us. And caught in the very act. She didn't even know the darkness that she was in. And certainly she didn't realize the light she possessed. So anyone who saw her didn't want to see that she could have light. And so they would make fun of her and only see her as an adulteress. So their light was judged. There was no light in an adulterer. And then there was that leper, that person who had been carrying this affliction for many years, an affliction that was seen in many eyes as an affliction by God. The God's wrath has really let go on that person. And so that person was seen as only a person who God was angry with, and the sins of their fathers had laid on them. So they were only seen as a sinner who God was shortened with in love and compassion. No one had time. And in fact, if you were a leper, you had to go on the other side of the road. If you were a leper, you had to ring a bell and let people you were coming. If you were a leper, you could only stay in the leper colony. You could not interact. You couldn't even worship with anyone else. So your light was extinguished as well. And then there's those who are judged and those whose light is extinguished because their relationship in society. And you have Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a short man, so he needed some help with his height and climb a tree because he saw that Jesus was coming. And yes, there wasn't any good in him. Everyone saw him as evil and wrong and a dishonor to the Jewish community. But Jesus didn't see that. But everyone else saw him as one who went against everything good in their community and even shaved some from the top for himself. And so he was seen as only a tax collector. And then sometimes, just like Peter, we fall short. And when Jesus appeared to him on the shores and in the waters of the sea, and he was seeing him from the boat, Peter saw Jesus and said, Jesus, if Lord, if it's you, then command me to come walk to you, and I will. And he took a few steps after he got on the out of the boat into the waters, and he started to walk towards Jesus. But because he didn't know himself, he didn't love himself, he didn't realize that God loved him and Jesus loved him, he started to pay attention to the storms, and he started to sink. He didn't believe in the love that Jesus had in him. The faith Jesus put in his heart. And for every one of us in our lives, no matter who you are, whether you're your faculty or staff or your student, whether you're a guest looking at this college or seminary as a possibility prospect, Jesus wants to be the light in every one of our darkness. And that all of us desire, really, even in the midst of our darkened times, we really truly desire light. And Jesus wants to reignite your hearts to love again. So much so that you can't keep it to yourself. And that this city on a hill, this college, this seminary, this light is not to be hid under a bushel basket, but that Jesus would be the Lord and the light of every single one of our hearts, and that we would be so thankful and humble and compassionate to not only ourselves, but we would let that come and flow to every single one. Yes, every single one we would encounter. And that together we would let our light shine. We would let our light shine. Amen. I invite you to share with me this little litany. Our response is, Jesus, help my light to shine. Jesus, help my light to shine. For loving things more than you, Jesus, let my light shine. For lack of respect for the name of God, Jesus, let my light shine. For lack of respect for parents and authority, Jesus, let my light shine. For attacks against life, Jesus, let my light shine. For attacks against marriage and family, Jesus, let my light shine. For offending my neighbor, Jesus, let my light shine. For offending those I love, Jesus, let my light shine. Amen.